couple of mine. See, I'm 71 years old. A lot of people wouldn't believe it looking at me. And I worked all my life and hunted all my life. I tell them all, for getting some good fox dogs, they'll live a long time.
Well, is it so much trouble to breed them?
Well,
a lot of care, I guess.
Yeah, lots of care to be. Now, the veterinarian says you lose half of them. I don't. Doug's got two, and the fellow Mama's got two, and there's eight in that letter, nine in that letter. One, she went out instead of getting it in the house, she went out there in that old toilet there and had them, and one got to fell down and pulled his neighbor's string out and read to death. There's nine of them. And I raised eight of them. That's only one lost in the whole gun. Mm-hmm. I was off $75 a piece of these for the, and they're 6 months old, and they're a year old now. Mm-hmm. I reckon I ought to show some of them, but I figure this, I'm not going to keep them all, but I figured I'd wait till I heard them run and see which ones I wanted to keep.
Yeah.
Then pick out the tongues to match and make it go good. See, fox hunters like music.
Yeah, they want to hear
the... Then there's the sound of the dog, is like you've heard people sing, and you know certain classes sing, and you like that.
Yeah.
If you like singing, good singing, and a good musical tone, and you take a good pack of dogs and get up on the hill. See, I used to hunt over here at Richmond's. I'd build that highway through there. I'd get up on those hills and watch my young dogs, and I couldn't work. I'd drive over and drive out, and then I'd have to come back here and lie down a while.
Where was that?
Over here in Richmond's pasture. See, they always let me hunt over there, you know, in the Richmond, up there, big
range. Oh, yes, where them big hills.
Well, you take PK and them, nobody over in McIntosh or everything there ever said anything about me hunting. Of course, anyone comes in, I always, when you may not remember, but do you know I asked you when you first went out there? When you bought that place, I asked you, and you said, yeah, it'd be all right, but look after them. Well, I watched my dogs. In fact, these dogs, Walker dogs, went home and stopped. Well, maybe Miss Ford would be. Maybe around there, but he done going on that home, I guess.
You see him every now and then?
Yeah, I see him every once in a while. You won't see him?
I just see him.
Talk.
Caught him down there one day.
Well, do you know where he lives?
Oh, yeah.
I think you did. Like you're going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you knew where he lives.
Yeah,
now, Douglas, his son, hunts a great deal with me, but he fooled around the deer hunt a lot.
Oh, does?
Yeah. I gave him a mate to one of these puppies here. He lost six dogs last year.
Yeah.
And I lost eight.
I don't know Douglas.
You don't know Douglas? Well, you know that Daniel's place over here.
I know where he lives.
That's right where you live. Well, he's fine, though. Get up any time of night and do your favor.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. He's a nice fellow, Douglas here.
What does he do?
What's he?
What does he do?
He works at university. Uh-huh. Well, you...
Everybody works up there. I do, too.
You working up there now?
Yeah.
I thought you was a Kentucky guy.
No, I'm working out there.
He works at the university. Of course, there's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I worked up about 2.5 months one time, Cosmic Fall.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to take a foreman job. Well, I didn't much want it. They had too many rotten carpenters.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't pay me any more for being a foreman would being a carpenter.
Yeah.
But it's not half as much worry.
Yeah, no, no.
And. No. Not half as much work. I told him, I said, hey, no, I don't want it. But you, if you don't take them there, they won't keep you long. If you don't, they want you to do these things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know it then. I quit myself because I went out in town. They was paying $1.25, and the scale went up $1.50. They wouldn't pay it, but those contractors out there in town, they was offering me $1.50. Well, I worked on to finish up what I was doing for them. And, When the time come, I went out there in town, went to work, got a quarter, 25 cents an hour more.
Yeah.
Well, that's $2 a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the long run, you won't make any more. Go work and you'll be working out there. But I had to work till noon on Saturdays. And if I got to work till noon, I'd just soon work till 5 o'clock. Are you that way?
Yeah. I tell you, we've been spoiled here late years, you know. Got so nobody wants to work at all on Saturday.
I don't mind working on Saturday. I don't like to work on Sundays, never have. I worked at the airport 7 days a week over there.
Yeah.
Well, during the war, I didn't want to. I didn't want that 7 days. I didn't mind the six.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working 10 hours a day.
Them coons bothered them up there.
Oh, yeah. Who had them up there? Woods?
Yeah. No, Rob and Bill.
Bill Wynn?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll eat them up.
And they're all surprised they got it in on them so green. They're good-sized melons, but they were green.
Well, if you could have got some old coon dog and went out there and run them 2 or 3 times, right out there in the field, and old dogs running around, they'd found out. See, that's old coon with their young ones does that.
Oh.
And you can go out there, you don't have to even kill them.
Yeah.
You can go out there and run them a time or two and they'll leave. Get someone that's got a coon dog.
Yeah.
Or if there's a fox out there, get someone with a fox dog and they won't.
That's what do the foxes do? They don't bother the melons. They
eat the rats mostly.
Rats.
Some of them thought they'd eat. I told them, I said, they come got me and I told them, I said, it isn't that. I said, it'd be hard to make you believe it, but I said, I watched it.
What do the possums do?
They'll eat only. No possum will eat anything. And a polecat will know them too. But the coons is the worst.
They're the ones that make that little hole and then scoop it out.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've got a hole and they can reach in there and say that. Well, they haven't done the same thing.
Oh, that's where a possum does?
Yeah. But a coon, possum will use it. The coon will dig it, then the possum will eat something too.
Oh.
And rats go there to eat seeds.
Eat seeds.
And eat seed around the places, you know.
Yeah, and that's what draws
foxes. And the fox will go there to catch a rat.
Yeah.
Now, coons catch a rat, all of them catch a rat, but they're not as good as a fox. Rats used to eat up, when back in the 20s and 30s here, people kept on telling me when I first came here, they kept on telling me, says rats are just eating up all my seed. I just have to keep planting them things.
You got to eat your food.
I've done that. Awful boy all over here. I found him here. And you could get him to walk down in that heat dog. He likes to see him. I bought a private place up there. He did have the dog, but I think he could have lost him and carried some of his cats. Some of them got killed on the highway.
In there, in time, it'll kill that rattlesnake for fried meat and grease in the dog. And now, certain places it's going right to its heart or brains, killed it that quick,
yeah.
You know. But I had that big stud dog of mine got bit down here on Orange Lake on the leg right there, and he's still running on, going on 3 legs, and I could see his leg is swollen as he's running, toting that leg. So as soon as I could, I caught him, brought him up here, and he swole like he'd burst all over, and that's all I took him off sweet milk and put him on sweet milk and filled him full of fried meat grease. When he used to have the veterinary, done poison, done going too far. I went into his stomach where that blood was going back to his stomach.
Yeah.
Now, if it had been going to his heart,
yeah.
If he'd been hit going right direct to his heart, probably he'd have died before I'd have got him up here.
It takes, and the dirt keeps the oil in their skin.
What country?
You know, I'm from Alabama, North Alabama, out west of Birmingham, in Walker County.
Uh-huh. How far from Georgia was he from?
Up
I've heard
close
him.
To Thomasville.
Yes, yes.
In
well, that's
around
not too far.
Close to Thomasville.
That's not too
well,
far.
Well, did you come from there?
No, I come up from the way up above there.
In Tennessee?
Yeah, I come from way over on the
western part of
the
west.
Northwest corner.
Northwest corner.
Way as far as you can go.
It's way up in there towards Memphis.
Yep, Memphis is down this.
This side where you
southwest corner, you see?
Well,
I'm not close to anything. That is no big city.
Uh-huh. Well, you take, I've been all through in there. I worked at Collinswood about 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
And I been up in Loretta, Leoma. I had a cousin lives in Leoma, some lives in Loretta. And I stayed up at Lawrenceburg.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had some cousins lives on the other side of
it. I don't
know, boy, haven't you? Wayne's County, Collinswood was in Wayne's County.
Uh-huh.
And there's Brewer and Blair was running a big sawmill way back in there, one of those big hollers there north of Collinswood.
Mm-hmm.
I went over and worked a while with them. I worked,
Well, what did you do when you first come down here?
When I came down here, it was a truck farm, but I didn't. I just worked at anything I borrowed. I went back to barbering.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm an ex-barber. I barbered over 20 years.
Is that right?
And I had other business, too, you see, and I'd get me a barber. I owned a barber shop up here over 20 years.
Well, I'm
gonna... I had a barber shop in Cleveland.
I'll get sometime, I'll get you to tell me why barbers can't cut my hair. Just one out of 50 can cut my
hair.
Well,
I'll tell you, most of them goes to college. And ones that goes to college don't know as much as ones that learned it the hard way. Learned it.
Up here again,
though. They teach them to.
You know Hugh Edge.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you what's the matter. Just like mine, he dipped right in there when he ought to let that drone out right here.
Yeah.
He ought to cut that a bit right there.
Yeah.
That'll all go back and cut this and then let that fill out right in there.
You know Hugh Edge.
Yeah.
Hugh Edge, one of my good friends.
I know lots of barbers up there. You take,
Now, Hugh can cut your hair and talk to you about cattle or anything else.
He can.
Yes, sir.
Well, you take barbers has to talk sometimes. They get tired sometimes, but they have to talk sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they don't.
Well,
I used to sell a lot of massages and I just, they're more kidding them than anything else, you know. The boys would really have a hot date, you know. They'd come in and they'd want to shave. And they wanted to look the best, you know, they had a good date and they're making that smart money, and I was all the time doing something for them anyway, and giving them a business on my card and things. I'd shave, you know, and I'd ask the owner of the massage, said no. I'd come around there and I'd say, look on this here razor here. He said, I wash my face good, massage my eyes. I said, you can't get that like I can. Just kidding, you know. Go ahead and give me a massage. I'd give him a massage, you know, and that was that little black hair that's on my razor. And I said a massage, you know, and they're kidding me. They're playing like the so-and-so and want me to have my car checked every week, you know. And I said, I'll get even with you all for that. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Now I had a new one. It wasn't necessary to check one. New one every week, you know. And so that they'd charge me 25, 50 cents for it, you know, for checking it, see if there's anything up, you know. So I got wise to it. I said, you know, they're just pulling my leg. I said, I'll get even with them. And I'd show them the hair, and then I'd sell them a massage, you know, 50 cents, 75. And I did it much for fun. I mean, just to get a kid. I did. Of course, it does do you good to get a massage and a shampoo. Now, if you go to give yourself a shampoo, I'll put you next to something. You go ahead and you just wear that all you want to. And you wash that out good and rinse it. And your hair ain't clean.
Yeah.
You go right back over it and rub it in there, soap in there, good shampoo, real good again. Wash it out and your hair feels just as soft and fuzzy as that.
You mean one time on the...
No, sir. I don't care how much you rub it, you got to re-soap it and wash it out again.
Is that right? Well, how you figure that, mister?
Well, I just experimented on it and I learned it.
Yeah.
And everybody just go ahead and wash one time. And the people come in and say, I like the way you shampoo better than I did the other barbers. Well, I didn't tell the other barbers that. You see, I'd experiment on myself.
Yeah.
And to see, just like I went to a chiropractic doctor, you can go to them. If you notice what they do, you can get...
I'm pretty close.
But it was closer when that hit the black. They don't keep on the one coming through them.
Yeah. I feel a little air.
No, I just don't. Yeah, there's old. The other one got killed out by the last season.
Yeah.
People that plant.
Yeah.
I
put it far down to the freeze, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It will freeze all the way down. It will freeze all over, Paul. Who was that talking about the water was got over? About the same week the freeze come.
Oh,
now you take it. I said, don't fool yourself. Yeah, I said, well, I ain't over there. I said, because they can freeze right now. So up there around my home, I noticed a couple of frogs in there and killed back down to the ground. And that was the 1950s. Oh, it's going to be no more cold. Well, that's a little cool. I said, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep talking. I said, you don't know frogs like I do. That's all there. And that Friday it started turning cool.
Friday,
yeah, it's turning cold. It's just cool. Now it's just nice sun. It's going to be cold. Last Sunday morning, the guy looked at the paper 2 minutes, rolled it down in Jacksonville. The Leon, His home is in North Carolina. You mean to tell me it's that cold in Florida? As you stay around Florida, as you find out how cold it gets in Florida.
That ain't cool, they
say. They sure that cold.
Now,
what's that? There's
a bunch of fools out of Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri.
Yeah.
Louisiana, all around from there. We're going where the weather's nice. My sister looked at him. She said, "What they said, babe? They don't know what they said, babe." Sister, what you said? We're going to Florida where the weather's shaytail weather. I said, "I'd like to see you one of them morning during the winter time. You step out there in your shaytail." Ain't nobody fool. No, y'all don't know what you're talking about. Everybody said it's shaytail weather in Florida. I said, "Yeah, she let them fool you. Come on down to Florida's and homestead." My home, it'd be so cold, we just wrapped up. We have snow this time of year, no problem. I look at him. I just keep talking, so we're on fool, y'all. Well, one old man, he called himself and been all over the world. He was telling about they was on the west coast. I started to say, and I looked at the sun. I do y'all know the east from the west? I said, yeah. I swear it was sunrise. I said, in the east, where is it? In the west. I swear they look like it young. I said, well, that sun go down and see, she look over yonder and tell me how close y'all is to where the sun going down. So that evening, the boss, he was talking to the boss man, so I'm much your opinion. Said, you're going to run by Florida. Said, my home is not in Florida, but I've been out here long enough to know that this weather down here fooling. Said, as far as you're talking about the coast, so this is the southeast coast. Then, but a little piece further down the road, you can go on land. I said, that's Key West. It's Kim, you up in Key West, you got to hit that water, kiss that. So Christmas time comes. Oh, I don't know how to ask. It's Christmas and it ain't been no cold weather. I said, yeah. I said, oh, don't let the weather fool you, honey. It rained Christmas evening, and by 12 o'clock that night, it went back to the freeze. And I went to hunting them coats and sweaters and bear wraps then. I said, don't put on nothing shirt-tail weather. I said, it's not cold. Now with the wind is a little chilly. I said, no, it ain't chilly, shirt-tail weather. Don't put on nothing. And that Monday morning, got on the ground, white. So, that Tuesday morning, everything was dead. All up to Markley, all around 4 miles. All back up these folks. I said, don't get cold, Florida. I said, I know, but I raised them, born and raised in Florida. I was full grown on that Florida. You sure said it? I said, no, you pay attention to people by shirt tail weather. You freeze.
I think this is the one that does it. I think.
I eat a piece of peanut butter here.
You go right ahead and
what you got there, mister?
Here's what I want to show you about the pictures of some of the dogs and things. Now,
okay.
Sir, here's a picture of a bunch of puppies that a girl took while I was feeding them and had them at their house up on the hill above Ms. Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just look at the rest of them down in there.
Oh, well, nice.
Turn right there. That's the whole, and I didn't know she was taking them. One day she reached me that.
Well, what do you know?
You see how that?
Yeah. Now, they're not grown there, are they?
No, but I'll show you pictures of them as they got grown out here. Right here is, there's a bobcat, the big bobcat they caught, you see. And that, these here, right here together, three of those was those puppies that you seen on that other list.
Uh-huh.
After I moved out to the junction, you see.
Now, is that bobcat grown?
Yeah, but it's a whole lot larger it looks because you can't hold one up like that. Jack Heron's trying to hold it up. And this is Wesley, and this is me over here on this side. See, these are my walker dogs, and those two dogs belong to Buck. And I was training them, hunting them for them.
Oh, the cat's dead?
Yeah, they killed
him.
You
wouldn't be able to hold it up that way. It'd be alive, wouldn't it?
No, they caught him and they held him up. And this is, now the mother of the dog you seen uptown, well, of course, I'll put this back there and bring it up later. And,
oh,
you really got some nice pictures there, Mister.
Yeah, and now here the same later after that was they'd run 2 days and nights, and there's some puppies from them. Back this way here, was 6 months old, run all night Friday night and Saturday till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock to begin to come in.
Yeah.
They run all night Saturday night, and 4 o'clock we got up to go hunting. Some fellas come out and call me, and their dogs rested. And those four puppies.
Come in, Johnny.
Those puppies there, they outrun everything they had. We'd see in the
court.
Howdy. After that, we caught two fox that morning on the ground.
Where happened to you?
By myself. Mm-hmm.
Stepped
out the shoulder and this one, put all the weight on it. See if it, you know, I could stand it. And it just all popped out and just opened out on the side. I just hit the ground.
Told him last night up there. He's done that today, I reckon.
Actually, he's just done it a while ago.
Yeah. Just done it today. I was looking at that tower and she got up there. That looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Most of the children, you know.
I've been trying to get... do you have a good camera?
Not a good one.
I've been wanting to get all these dogs I had, the pictures of them, before I lose some of them. And last year I tried and I lost all those dogs. And I never did. I've forgotten who I was at now. I guess you wanted me to do this talking when... It kind of like it happened, don't you, as it come
like,
in?
Just like we've just in it, just another, yeah. Nothing special.
Now here's the mother and the dog puppy that you seen up there,
mm-hmm.
And here's its mate.
Now she's a pretty good sized dog, isn't she?
Yeah, and here's a fella got her when she was barking there, had her head sewed up. You can tell her.
I'm telling you.
You can tell her to sew up, but call me and she'll sew her head up. Oh.
That's a beauty. I wish I had one of them.
Well, that's one that I didn't show you. I told you I wanted to see. Now here's the one that
killed. Now she got her head thrown right straight up.
Yeah. Fine. Now there's the one that got the killed here a while back. It was found shot.
Yeah. And you don't know what happened to him.
The hole in the side, somebody had to shoot him through there.
Well, why would anybody shoot him, Mr.?
Well, I don't know. There's people who do things like that. People get in for you and they'll slip around and kill some of your stock.
Nobody got it in for you.
Huh?
Ain't nobody got it in for you. They might have it in for me.
They got it in for me, too. Don't you think they have it?
Because you run your dogs?
Yeah. Lots of them, they don't want me to have them because I make money on them, you see. And they're good dogs. Nobody else hasn't got the class of dogs I got to have around here. Those I'm helping Doug now, all his dogs, except one old dog he's got there training his puppies, is the same stock I have up there.
Yeah.
I try to help out a good young hunter, you know.
Yeah.
I gave him one of those fine puppies. Of course, I used his stud dog, but I'd use his stud dog before, and I gave him two that time. He wanted two, and I just gave him two that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't supposed to get but one. I tried to pay him for it, and he wouldn't take it.
Well, now, he's had a right smart experience breeding?
Not much. He's what little he knows, he's learned a little bit here the last year or two from me.
Well, he ought to go ahead and learn some more from you.
Yeah, but he ought to, and some young person, or younger than I am, could take up my dogs and make money on them, but see, I'm not able to train them anymore. I can't handle them. Mine just dying for it to be too long.
Well, let me tell you how it is.
You take, if you're not using it, that's a little money in your pocket, but if you're using, if you can use it yourself, you and can grow it. You got cattle yourself?
Yeah.
You got how many head?
I haven't got many. I got about 20 cows.
Well, now then, You're thinking, I tell you, I was reared on the farm, and we had cattle, and that was my job from a little boy to look after cattle and feed the cattle and the horses, and Buck up here fed the hogs. We had hogs, too, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had this work to do, you see, and I'm a little bit from about 8 years old on up. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go and tend all the work. Walk 3 miles to school. I'd leave at 6, going to school in the morning.
Yeah.
Had to be there at 8. And shoot, I dealt in cattle. Had cattle.
Time you got to school, you'd rather sit down and rest a little, wouldn't you?
Yes. No, you didn't think about rest. You
You had plenty of milk and cornbread and vegetables to eat. You could go on that. It's not like eating knickknacks and running and eating a few bites like I do now. Of course, I tell you, I'm not working. I can't work. I can't do anything like now. And can't say anything.
Now, you talk about eating. You know, the food we used to eat. The doctors won't let you eat it anymore.
I know, but I do. I
it got grease in and things like that.
That's the only thing that does you any good. I went back this last year. I've been on diet for years. And leaving off grease and anything and meats and things like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm nearly dead and down to 114 pounds. Now I'm way back up there on 135 for it now. And the last year I've been eating dry beans and lima beans. Of course, I cook them myself and cook them in an iron pot. And in the wintertime, I've got a big heating stove out on account of fumes from gas or casine affects me and breathing.
Yeah.
And I got a wood stove. Of course, you more money to have a wood stove.
Yeah, but you get heat out of it.
Yeah, but you get the right kind, and that fumes you don't bother you either.
No.
And that's what was a lot to
no.
me. And I do most of my own wood cutting. You know, I have to buy a little at a time when I get to where I can't go or sick or something like that.
Yeah.
I have to buy a little bit. The other time, I keep it cut up ahead, you know. Like when I was carpentering, I'd bring in all the waste and stuff and throw it around and
yeah.
in my stove.
I don't think they've ever had good heat like they have in them old wood stove.
No,
there's
no good
on.
Eating unless it's cooked on a wood stove in a hard pot if you don't know the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, I went back to that. See, I'm batching and...
And you got a extra time.
And if I want to light up a kerosene stove, I got a gas stove there. I use electric hot plate, the great deal, but it wore out, and I got the linen. I lost one good one, and the other little something got long with it, and I let a fellow have it to fix, and he turned in, and he wanted it, I think, and said he couldn't get parts to fix it. Said it's too old. One of these, what's that highest price hot plate cost? $32. And see, he could fix it after he kept it a long time. Then one day asked me if I wanted that old stove back.
Yeah.
If he kept it over a year, you know. And I said, nah, I don't reckon I do. If you can't fix it, I couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
I didn't know about electricity. So I might need to fix it up and sold
yeah.
for $10 or $15.
Yeah.
So that.
How do you do your beans?
How do I cook them?
Uh-huh.
Well, I always get just a little bacon of some kind.
Yeah.
And I find that if you'll salt your meat, like if you go and get your fresh meat and pork, if you'll salt it down overnight and before you cook it the next day.
Oh, really?
Day,
yeah.
And it draws out all that water and that stuff that they've put in there, and then they don't get the blood out of it good.
Uh-huh.
And they'll draw all that out, it doesn't hurt you to eat it so bad.
Oh,
salt it down, just like we used to see in North Alabama. Back when I was a kid, we could raise our own hogs and everything. And you take that, I knew how to save meat. We didn't have Frigidaire's back when I was there.
No, we just had to cure it.
You had to cure a lot of yours up in Tennessee, because 1921,
yeah.
when I was in Tennessee, I was working up there, and I worked at sawmills up there.
Uh-huh.
And boy, we worked from sun up to one place, sun up to sun down, you know, in the hot summertime, long days.
Well, now, on your beans now, you salt your fat meat down.
You salt it, and then... You put in there, and you don't put too much meat, but put some of it in there. Then it's good to put hog hocks, or some call them hog pig knuckles and
mm-hmm.
hog hocks,
mm-hmm.
something like that in there, too. Maybe one or two of those in there, and a little bacon.
Uh-huh.
And then dip you out a pretty big spoonful of oleo and put in there
uh-huh.
to season with.
Uh-huh.
Don't use too much of that fried meat grease, and you mix it in it. You got some, and the way I do cooking myself, you know, I like said more than one thing. I know how long to cook the beans, then the meat, and then add a few iced potatoes in there a little, and then cut up an onion in there. So just the way to make it have the flavor you want. And put through it, maybe get a can of English peas, and I always pour that juice off. That canning stuff affects my stomach.
Oh.
And pour that off, and I'll, maybe at one part of the time I'll put in English peas with it. I have about three or four different vegetables, you know,
mm-hmm.
cooked up, and I eat today and tomorrow for that. And I don't have time no eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now how do you do your peas?
You if you're cooking you mean your English peas,
yeah.
little peas.
Yeah.
You pour that juice
yeah,
off to keep
yeah.
from getting that.
Yeah.
You see they put acid and stuff to make them keep. You know?
Oh yeah.
And it'll get some acid from the can.
Yeah.
I tested that and figured that out myself.
Yeah.
And if I will do that, and a lot of times if you don't get all of it out and take like right out of the garden, pour you some hot water in there and let it settle just a little bit, and then pour that off. Then use your peas, and you get practically every bit of that acid
yeah.
off that.
Now, what do you do to your peas?
You dry peas?
No, the ones you
English,
yeah.
Well, that's English peas that I was telling you how to get them out of the can and do.
Yeah.
I just pour them in the can. You after your others cook practically done,
yeah.
you put that in.
Uh-huh. How you mean put that in?
Just pour it in the pot with the rest of them stirred up.
I see. Oh, you mean you like more than one in the same pot?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, oh, they have everything up there.
Well, listen, I'll go to Saking Up, and you can get a lot of this. I'll come down here, and then we'll send it to the Hunter's Horn. I say, I'll take those magazines of this fox hunting
yeah.
and things like that, and we'll take a picture of my dogs, and they'll put it on the front page up for us.
Yeah.
I'll take
that?
Yeah, I'll show it. I never thought to show it. See, a lot of people don't want to take up the time, and they think just old dogs, you
yeah.
know. They don't stop to think.
Yeah.
That, you didn't have a, nobody didn't have a big fine bull would have got that dog from me for it. None of these big registered bulls you couldn't have given to me for that dog.
Is that right?
That dog
yeah.
made me $125 one month stud fee when he's a year old.
Yeah.
And you know, since I've been sick, fine, had these dogs and could have made a little bit and got stud fee, take the puppies and sell the puppies and thing like that, I'd have went hungry.
Yeah.
And
they
I needed
out.
Medicine. And
yeah.
these dogs helped me out. But
well, I never realized that.
Well, a lot of people didn't see. A lot of people never had dogs think, well, I just give away a dog or it's no good, it's just loafing around. Well, these dogs, you see, you can tell they're well cared for. Well, I don't let them run loose, and they run them with a fox and a cat.
Yeah.
I can bring them right out here, and I could have brought that dog out there, and if you'd have got him to run
uh-huh.
any stock of any kind, I'd have give you him and $1,000.
Yes,
now, that's how much I watched him know he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
He'd like scared him to death when he first seen the first black English cow. And what made it bad, one dog, she run at one dog, and that dog belonged to another fella, barked at it, and she bellered, and when she did it, I had a time, and when the cow got anywhere around the cow, he quit and need to go way around and get in the pack, and he eventually run and just go right around the cow. You go over here and Richardson and those niggas over there and ask them about those dogs. See, I trained them, run them over there, and put Interstate 75 in there.
Yeah.
But right over in there, I'd go out to the edge of town and take some of them, and I was training puppies and my car, and turn those loose, come back and get the rest of them to go around over at the home place.
Mm-hmm.
These of them be running in there somewhere.
You know, you like me, you need somebody to work along with you, help you a little bit, mister.
Oh, I've got to have somebody. I can't hunt by myself by anymore.
But it's just too much work to it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It ain't work, but you just gotta keep moving around, doing something.
Yeah, I can't quit. But when it comes time, last year, you see, I've had blood clots, you know,
mm-hmm.
and bad circulation.
Yeah.
And I won't hardly go to a doctor for all this because I've carried so many people and watched so many of them, you know, and they I'll tell you what they did. They did just formality and experimenting almost. And they all died pretty quick.
Yeah.
And they cut their legs off and they tried everything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I may die with this, but I'm going to just carry this leg with me. And I've still got it, and it's getting better, and I can walk on it pretty good.
That's like this colored fella, don't you know, with that big arm?
Yeah.
he wasn't going to have nothing done to that either. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Adam Burr.
Adam,
yeah. Yeah. Well, he ain't never had nothing done, has he?
I don't think so, and he's healthy as can be, as far as I know.
Except your neck.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon I'd have went ahead and the way that looked at me and let him, I opened it up and tried to get out, but I'd have burst his blood vessel, wasn't it?
Mm.
A ruptured blood vessel called out.
I've heard, but I've just...
Well, I don't guess they know, actually.
No, I thought it was some sort of growth.
Well, ain't that soft? It's just full of water or blood or something.
Yeah.
It may be a growth on it.
Yeah. I've heard, but I tell you, I don't have a memory for things like that.
Well, I don't impress it on mine. In fact, I don't feel good no time anymore, and I don't impress it on mine like I used to do.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody may have known about that but me, but I had never seen the dogs put 2 feet off the ground when they're in heat. Now, that just simplifies things a whole lot, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's no trouble to you.
They don't come up around there, and the dogs don't fool around there.
Mm-hmm.
They come around there, they don't know what dogs and heat up there, and it doesn't look like it worked, but I've been using that over 30 years, near 40 years.
Yeah. Isn't that curious? Well, sir, you know, a bull is hard to keep when he can get up to the cows and smell them.
Oh, yeah.
But if you've got a double fence, just like a lane,
yeah.
Or not even that much.
He won't go.
Seems like it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I guess there's something there. They don't get as close to the cow.
Yeah.
But still, they can smell it for some little distance.
Yeah, they can smell it.
Then a dog can smell it to a whole lot farther than you think. And another thing, if I turn one of my jip loose, it may come leave home at night after you think it's lying around and come around Mavison, maybe go to McIntosh, cross River Styx. Go out to Zet Rowell, maybe one trip around for their dog 9 days if they go swelling up and bleeding. And the dog smells that and they'll follow them. They're out running around.
I didn't realize it was that long.
And, of course, then they'll take about 9 days.
Yeah.
Then, usually, when they go out all at one side of the way, and you see a bunch of dogs, and the last time one of them hangs to it, the last time you see them, everyone leaving the morning about that dog, I've seen them, these loafing dogs do that.
Yeah.
And seen them how they'll do. And that's a funny thing, but if it ain't out of heat, they'll stay around and follow that gypsy more.
But our cow don't stand heat that long.
No, cow don't. Did you know, I had a bull when I never did tell you about that, but I had a bull that over here at McIntosh let Roland Thomas use it. He said he'd feed it in the winter for me if I let him use it for stud bulls.
I know him, yeah.
Roland, and he had him down on the lake over at Orange Lake, and a pasture and wasn't feeding him, and along in February, you know, and he'd had to make his living, and he was charging people $3 service fees all down through in there for him, and not feeding my bull.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a friend of mine bought 3 cows and 1 calf for me. Up at Micanopy, and he had one he'd went and bought from another place, you know, and he'd carried it to a bull, bought from Derry up here, a Guernsey, and I think the full blood of Guernsey, or half Guernsey and half Jersey, and he couldn't breed her. She wouldn't breed. She'd been with a bull up there in the pasture and she didn't breed,
mm-hmm.
And they sold it to him for $60. Fine heifer,
yeah.
Which was a lot cheaper then back at that time.
Yeah.
That was back in the 40s. So that I told him, I said, Mr. Smith, I says, I got a bull over here at McIntosh. Good young bull, about 2 years old. I said, he's not exactly a full-blooded Jersey, but he's about three-quarter Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, I'll go in a quarter black English. And there's full stock, too, on both sides. bull or cow, one got out and got to the cow, man's Jersey cow, and he didn't mean for it to breed that way, but they got together when she come in heat, you know, one of them got out and got to the other. So that then Thrasher got that bull, that's half and half, you see. Then Mr. Geiger, Geiger around on the other side of town, he had one out in the country, and he bred two Thrasher bulls and a 4 good gallon Jersey cow, and I bought that bull from him.
Oh.
And a lot of people wanted something kind of like that, you know, and I traded for him. He wanted to sell him, and Mr. Geiger did out there. Not this Geiger over here. This is Gargoyle over here.
This is Geiger over here.
Yeah. Well, that isn't
Geiger.
And
I don't know Mr. Geiger over there.
Well, a lot of them called him Geiger over here. Mm-hmm. Not everybody did, but it didn't right pronunciation. But they don't spell the names right.
I don't know him. I know where he lives.
Gargoyle, is this way that this is pronounced.
Geiger.
Yeah.
G-A-R-R-I-G-A. Geiger.
Yeah. Geiger.
Sounds like that. Well, I see him down here at Fred Wood's store.
Yeah, they're fine people. Yeah, I fed their cow and looked after them when they go off a week or two for a long time. I got to where I just couldn't do it. And they're fine people. They always paid me. They asked me how much I owed them. I said nothing. See, I stayed out there 2 years for them, you see, and I kept my dogs out there. Right
oh,
here.
You did?
Yeah, I'll show you one picture here.
You kept your dogs out there?
Yeah.
Since Mr. Geiger's been out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's the way the house looked. He tore that porch down and rebuilt that porch. That's the way it looked.
And here I am telling you how to pronounce his name.
Then when they moved, you see, when they got, they couldn't move over there then, you see, and they had cattle over there, and he didn't charge me anything on just pay the light bill.
Yeah.
He came to me down at McIntosh one day.
Well, he got dogs himself.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you may not. He see me at McIntosh down there one day, and I knew him at sister over there. So that he told me, he says, Weaver said, I want to see you a minute. He said, I haven't got time right now. He said, if you're not in too big a hurry, I said, drive by the grove up there. He said, I got men waiting on me, and I got to get back up there to get them started to work. And I went back up there, and he asked me about moving out there and looking at the boy. And I said, well, I says, I don't know where I could afford to pay as much rent as you'd want me to pay for that big house out there. He says, I'm...
Oh, that's where he lived out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. See, he couldn't move over after he'd bought it, you know, but he had to kind of... So much trouble for him to have to go over and check the water, and water cut off, you know,
yeah.
And anything like that.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And he knew me, you see, and I'd done some carpenter work for him over at the Citra for him. What have I done it for him?
Uh-huh.
So that... And both of them knew me, and they decided to get me to go over there and stay for them. And I...
And that's when you had the dogs out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and then I moved my dogs out there, you see. I says, another thing, I says, I have dogs, and you may not want me to keep dogs out there. You all may not want me. I say, you all may not want me to keep
You didn't
dogs.
Know he had all them dogs?
Well, I knew he had them and liked dogs, and his wife, too. Both of them crazy about those dogs.
Yeah.
But, you see, me having as many as I wanted to have and buy and sell and trade on them, and, you see, I always make it understanding that I keep dogs anywhere I'm at. I wouldn't think about it. If you want me to come out here and stay out here and do something for you out here at your place, and I wouldn't bring my dog, I'd say, well, I says, I have dogs. I says, can I carry them? You'd say, no, I don't want no dogs out there.
Yeah.
I'd smooth it over somewhere or another and wouldn't even come out here.
I don't think anybody mind your dogs.
None of these people around in here, Richardson's and all of them, they let I can hunt anywhere. They wouldn't say a word. Didn't want to where to see me out. None of these people around here.
Because your dogs behave the same.
Oh, I reckon so. I'll tell you what, so. You of mine come out here and my dogs kill one of your cows or calves or run it. You wouldn't have to kill it. I'd kill it myself. I wouldn't have that dog run the rest of my dogs.
Yeah.
See, people don't understand it. And this breeding of dogs don't. You can't get them run stock.
Yeah.
They've been bred tonight.
Uh-huh.
from you, way back
way
generation.
Back. Yeah.
Generation to generation.
Yeah.
See, if we didn't do that, farmers and people owned property wouldn't let us hunt on the property.
Now, your dogs, you don't want them to run anything much, do you?
Just the fox and the cats. All I don't want to run rabbit and a possum and a coon. Not these. Now, if I wanted a coon hunt, I'd get me. I used to keep both kinds.
Yeah.
One or two wouldn't run nothing. Didn't hunt for nothing but coon.
Yeah.
And possums.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go coon hunting. I went a coon hunting with them.
Yeah. But now, if the dog, if you want to hunt, run the cats or the foxes,
I'd take
and then you got then the dog will run coons too. You don't know what you're running there.
Yeah,
you?
That's right.
Yeah.
You
because you got so many coons.
You can soon tell, but you just if you don't go a fox hunting, if you like fox hunting, you want some dogs that won't run them with a fox to turn loose to stride. And you can run, I have had some of them that run at a boat, but when I went a coon hunting, I turned the coon dog loose.
I'll tell you, while I think about it, you were saying some interesting things yesterday about them coons and the melons.
Yeah.
And I told you that they come up, and the melons are large,
yeah,
but they're still green.
Yeah.
And all these fellas, Rob Wood and the fellas that come back there, said that was unusual for them to come back there and get green melons.
They usually wait till they get ripe.
Yeah.
But you take sometimes they get in there and then you see that when they eat that, see they don't eat all the seed and the rats wants the seed, you know.
Rats, but the coon do eat some of the seed.
Yeah. And they'll eat some seed, you see. It's just like a possum will go, or a possum or a fox. Now, I tell you what you can do, foxes, those gray foxes I'm speaking about, not red ones. Red ones will eat chickens. They're pretty bad on fowl, but gray ones are not. And,
they are.
Yeah, and bobcats, if they get started coming up here catching chickens, they'll catch every one of them. They caught bobs up here, and I was over here, and my dog was trailing the cat, and Mr. Boyles, Ms. Boyles sent Mr. Boyles out there and told me to not to come back over here hunting anymore. And me trying to catch those cats is catching all the Bob's chickens up there.
Yeah.
Well, none of the rest of them over here, they didn't like it. They didn't like that at all. And all the Woods didn't like that.
Ms. Boyles was a little peculiar.
Well, she was for herself, and she herself was. Mr. Boyles was a fine man. I don't like, you know. I really shouldn't be saying that. Say if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all.
Yeah.
It's the best way to do.
Well, I tell you, after I got a hold of this place, from all they told me about Ms. Boyles, I never had any contact with her. I just sort of afraid to get mixed up with her.
Well, you don't
but you know she had some good friends.
She had good.
Oh, she had friends in
here. Listen, she had some good good parts about her, but she had some. Unfastened,
yeah.
You see.
And she used to, they tell me, she used to have some dogs in here that was fierce.
Well, you take, I build those steps out there, I was trying to build them, and I'd watch those dogs loose, and she'd drive off, and they'd train that dog if anyone went to pick up anything. And Mitchell Boyd was helping me, and we couldn't have work for her, and then she'd call Mitchell off and had him working out here. Something else nearly all the time, and he was supposed to be helping me build the steps, and she was supposed to pay him. Wound up, I had to pay him for the steps and pay him what he got out of what he worked for her here. She wouldn't pay it. And she used to furnish me brick, and she said she'd pay Mitchell if we wanted to use some of these old chimneys out here, these old flues, and we flew around now, and I was going to lay the brick, and Mitchell was going to make up the mortar. Build them for $35, you know, the labor, and me pay Mitchell. I had to pay Mitchell. I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to get $35 myself. But I reckon I'd have got it.
And you was building these steps out.
Yeah.
And Mitchell was going to help you.
Well, Mitchell was supposed to help me, and she was supposed to. And she said she'd pay Mitchell to clean these here, but she didn't pay Mitchell. Mitchell didn't get a darn thing. And I basically just took money out of my pocket and gave it.
And that old dog was trained.
Trained, and I was sitting down this way and laying brick, and happened to start to reach back and happened to think that look back, and that dog is there standing right over me watching me. And reached back to get the brick right close to him. He's standing right over me. And
Mr. Mac,
I just eased down there, and I got my hammer. I picked up my hammer. I said, by the way, we'll have one more fight if you try to grab it. I said, you get a hold of it. And just in a few minutes, when I looked him in the eye, he decided I wasn't afraid of him. You got to look him straight in the eye. Don't never look off. That's when they'll grab you.
Well, I never heard of such a thing in my life.
You can let one of them.
You was out there working, just doing your work.
Yeah, and she agreed to tie that dog all the time I was working here. And then she had untied and going off to market. I'd be gone 2-3 hours. Well, we didn't know it was loose. And he got between me and Mitchell around there, and he was walking around there, looked something she wanted done for. And he started to walk around the corner, come back where I was at, and it made a dive for him.
That's
and he hollered at it, and I hollered at it. When we both hollered it, it left and went off. And he'd been trained as a full-blooded boxer, been trained.
Boxer?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And
good Lord.
She showed us right across here.
You know
here,
a boxer can just knock you down just as flat as anything.
She had a cut plumb across her chest, her breast right here, where that she picked up a hammer. Picked up something and forgot about it being trained, and he grabbed it, that hammer, and grabbed it her and cut her from across the chair.
You mean Miss Boyle?
Yeah. She said, told me, said, I'll carry that scar to my grave before he bit me.
Well, I never heard
of it. Then she wouldn't even tie that dog for us to do that work. We had to watch it.
You know, I've had awful bad luck with
and
people tying up dogs. They'll tell you they'll tie them up, and then they won't do it.
Yeah, turn loose again. A lot of them will do that.
Right there where you are.
Yeah.
I've had awful bad luck with that.
Well, you take a lot of people, you know, they don't feed the dogs, and they let the dogs come out around your place.
Yeah.
And they get out there, and you take a lot of these mixed breed dogs, they're going to have so much blood, especially German police and German Shepherd.
Yeah.
And they do the dirty work. Well, a man's hound like mine come running by out there, and you didn't know it.
Yeah.
You'd think maybe in daytime, and my dog wouldn't pay no attention to you, nor you stalk anyone.
Yeah.
But I have to have it understood, you see, and go and I always figure this, that you bought this property and pay taxes on it.
They don't all figure it that way.
Well, I figure that's yours, and I should get permission to you before I go across it. And
now, what happened to Fred's chickens? You never got to go over there and work on
no, the there's trailing the cat then, there's after the cat then, and I went and caught my dog, of course. And I thought I'd talk to Ms. Boyd up there one day and about it and to tell her. She said that said my dog's running the cows reading she didn't. I said, so what color dogs was it, Mr. Boyd? His boy says, it's a black one and a red one. I said, well, old mine's spotted. I said, I don't even have a black one and a red one. But Mr. Rush over yonder, he had a black one and a red one, and he was hunting with Keep, and there's up here. Well, see, so the fox went on through there, trailing, running, and the cows, a lot of times, will take after the dogs. Well, trained dogs, like most of our dogs is, they won't pay no attention to the cow, they run from it, and they'll dodge around and go back and pick that fox track up or go come around the cow. I've had some when going right towards a bunch of cows and cows make a charge at them, you know.
Yeah.
Some cows will do that a little bit till they get used to them, then they'll quit. They don't bother the dogs either.
Yeah.
Richard's a while, they got to where they wouldn't pay a bit attention to my dog.
Yeah.
And so they're used to them, you see. So that anything like that, the fox will run right on through and go on. Well, one of my big walker dogs, he'd come here and he'd just make a big circle and go plumb around these cattle that I used to have and pick up the just in a minute. Well, it kind of interfered with my other dogs, you know, if they made a charge at them.
You know, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you helping me a good deal. I didn't know what you telling me.
Well, a lot of people won't sit there and doesn't listen, but you know, I got.
I hate to see dogs out on the place.
You hate to see them?
Yeah, because I'm afraid of them.
Yeah, you don't. Well, if you know whose it is and know whose it is, you wouldn't think nothing about it.
No, but there's a difference, you see.
Oh, I reckon so. I haven't hunted over in here, been in here. Now, after that, I moved out to the junction, and, I moved out to the junction after that, and my dogs did come around the lake, and I was afraid she'd kill them. And see, she told me up there that they asked about, told her mine didn't hunt, and they wanted me to catch those cats. They said she didn't care nothing about the cats, said there wasn't none over here. Said she didn't see none of them fox either. I was laughing when she said that.
Yeah.
So that,
well, that's when she's over there.
I talked to her after she had sent Mr. Boyd out there and told me to not hunt.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't like hunting down here.
Yeah.
And I said, Mr. Boyd, I said, I always try to cooperate with anybody. I'll catch him as quick as I can. And I went to catch him, my dog, and then let him run the cat and catch it for Bob.
Yeah.
And I went on, you see.
Oh, that's for Bob Wood.
Yeah, for Bob Wood.
Yeah.
They're coming up there catching, and they had trailed the cat that morning right up in there and back around and come way back around and going back in this way and went back up in yonder and come back down across through here. And when it started to cross up yonder again, I got around up in there and cut them all, caught some of them right at Bob's house in there.
I'll tell you, I'll bet you that was a cat that got my goose.
Oh, well, that's about the only thing that catch a goose is a bobcat.
A fella gave me two geese.
They're up here, and I've run a mini one right down across here and go out here and come right out there at the corner of your field here,
mm-hmm.
right on around over there in Richardson, and Mr. Collins had that place up there. I drove out in his field and Richardson's field many of the time.
And I got them after they wasn't grown, but they was nearly grown. And they'd been brought up, see, hadn't been brought up out in the, where they take care of themselves, you
mm-hmm.
see. They're just helpless out here.
Yeah.
And the first time it happened to them, I forget which one it was. I guess it was a gander. They're both scared. But he was just all beat up, and he's sore, and he's scared, you know. And the next time it happened, the gander didn't come up, just the goose. No, it was the other way around. He got the goose, and it kept the gander. And, you know, Miss Bessie down here told me what it, Maggie Jackson used to
mm-hmm.
live before she died down here. She said the old bobcat would come get him and take him by the neck and throw him over his shoulder and just take off. Well, I don't know about that. But I know I looked in all directions around here, and I never did see any signs or feathers or nothing.
Well, that's what it was. They picked him up and carried him off. A fox couldn't hardly pick up a big goose.
Yeah.
A little gray fox couldn't.
Yeah.
A red fox is pretty bad on fire. You see, but we could never have no red fox around here. Now then, you take, they had so much trouble with rats eating the seed back in the 20s and 30s, back in the 20s, till I told them I didn't have dogs then, you see, at first, because I had so much tend to and so much work to do, I just couldn't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had no place to keep them at that time. And I was out of dogs for 5 or 6 years, you see, because I had to tend to all the businesses I had, you see, and worked so late at night, I didn't have time to hunt any.
In the 30s?
Yeah, back in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that...
And you and Mr. Boyd come down about the same time. You was here a year before?
Yeah, I think, seemed me like he came down before, down in the teens one time and went back to Georgia. Then and stayed up there maybe a year or somewhere and then come back down here a time or two. I think he did. So that I told Mr. Harrell and some of them is coming in buying pouring the seed and the rats and things, eating all the seed up and all out around the route and people back over in here. They'd come to the barber shop, you know. And I told them, I said, if you all had...
Where was your shop?
It's...
Making
open? Yeah, right there. My shop was in half of Myers, the store where he has the red and white store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there used to be a petition. You see
mm-hmm.
where that petition is through there.
Yeah.
That's where my barbershop and pool room was. My fur business is right on the corner where he has his warehouse.
Oh.
And I had it there, you see, and I had both those buildings rented.
Uh-huh.
And so that...
Well, what was Buck doing then?
Buck wasn't down here at that time. When
he hadn't come down
here? No, he hadn't come down here then. He came down here afterwards, you know, about 29, I believe, or 30, something along there, before Buck ever came down.
Well, did he take over and help you in the pool room and all?
No, he didn't help me. He helped me a little bit in the produce business, but...
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, when I first knew him, he was across the street there.
Yeah.
And had the pool room.
Well, he had the pool room. I helped him a little, some over there, you know.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't know why Mary always was against me. When she was in high school, she'd try to get the girls to go to the barbershop and not let me cut the hair.
Oh, really?
She's always been against me.
Is
and
that,
I helped her miss her side back at that time.
Who is Mary?
Mary Weaver, that's my sister-in-law. Buck's
wife. Buck's wife?
Buck's wife.
Yeah. Well, she talked mighty well about you the other day when I asked her where you was.
She's been doing that a little bit here lately, but the two or three, if they get talking, get wanting to be friendly with me, I watch them. they done taught me to watch them.
Yeah, I've had that same experience.
I don't like to say anything like that because that's the devil's work, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who the two is.
I'll tell you what, whenever you talk personal things like that, I have to go through the tape and mark it off. So you don't need to tell me that.
Well, I thought I was thinking.
It don't matter, you see. Nobody cares. Nobody else.
Well,
unless I give you this, nobody will hear it, you know.
Well, really, you should just, really, I should have just come out and got on one subject. That's why I thought.
No, it don't matter at all.
Mixing it up.
No, it don't matter at all.
Well, I thought maybe you want me to see about a story, you know, just like a story dictating.
Yeah, all you got to do is play it back and pick out the parts you want.
Pick out what you want.
Yeah.
And then you use it.
Yeah, that's really it. It's very simple. And you know, one of the marvelous things about this is you can play it back and hear it again and hear it again and get it straight. And you know, one of the hardest things...
That's almost impossible. The main thing in business, now if you're in business, you have to do this. You have to be able to write and talk to people and listen to somebody else too sometimes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
When I was in the fur business back in middle age, I just sit down and be writing this away and talking to you and somebody out here, one, two, three more saying over and tell you about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we had nothing like that. This keeps record of it all of it now.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that
you
then.
You go back and get it straight.
We didn't have anything like that at that time. But the way that's worked now, your mind just goes from this just to each one right fast.
Yeah.
And you don't get it all. You get enough to you know what is done and said and everything, and then you can figure that out yourself.
Yeah.
For about three or four.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I didn't think I'd ever learn that, but I did. After I learned that, I thought you thought of all of them at the same time. You don't.
Yeah.
You get done that so
yeah.
quick, you see.
Yeah.
And you catch it, you catch it. Your mind, the time I speak a word, your mind go to all three of them that quick. And you have to be in good health and feeling good to do it.
It takes energy.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty energetic.
Yes, sir. I didn't think I could ever learn that, but when I got in business, it wasn't so hard.
I guess a lot of it is just adjusting to it, getting used to it.
Yeah, it is.
So your mind will
do
it.
You got to keep your mind just operating just exactly right.
It's just like remembering names.
Yeah.
You can remember people if you want to.
Well, you think I had some cousins. I could remember a name, but I had some cousins could